You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
FYI, redundancy is at all time high.
Outstanding. Well, we got the recording a call again, so we're good. Set the old timer. Okay.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I have got Suzanne.
Present.
Rose.
Hello.
And Scott.
Hey.
All right, listener, what we are doing is we're continuing our, mini-series, saga, whatever you want to call it, of us randomly picking a icon that has starred in movies or TV shows in the decades that we love, being the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So each of the co-hosts have got to pick their own icon, and then we get to just ramble on about them for about 20 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, depending on if we want to wrap stuff up. And so that's where we're at. I am at the point now where I get to choose my icon and talk about this person. And I'm just wondering if... if you had one guess, and I'll let each one of you go. If you had one guess, who am I going to talk about? Rose, do you have a guess?
Leah Thompson.
All right, we don't even have to continue. We know exactly who I'm talking about. Very good. How well do we know Dave?
I might have said Meg Ryan, Dave.
Okay. Scott, where was your head at?
I wasn't quite ready to answer yet. So okay. I was, my mind was going,
but after you had said Keanu, it makes me want to revisit that topic. So maybe the next time we do this series, I'll have to throw out some Keanu love.
As soon as Rose said Leah Thompson, I knew exactly that's what the answer was going to be.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe Tom Hanks, but.
Oh, that's another great one. Yeah, I definitely. But, you know, and a lot of times, and Scott, you've been kind of the witness to this, is when we have been doing podcasting a while, I always try to throw in more actresses because mm-hmm. we always seem to spend a lot of time talking about, you know, the actors, you know, that have been pretty predominant. So I just want to, you know, throw in, my appreciation for the actresses whenever I can. In fact, one of the funniest things that I ever thought we did was there was this discussion where it took about 30 minutes and Scott and I were going through and trying to find an actress to do an icon on. And it was like we kept like bringing up I had IMDb up and it was like 80s actresses and I would list off and when we would debate, and I recorded that whole session. So it's like hilarious of having that, you know, that discussion back and forth of why should we talk about this one? Oh, I really don't know enough about that person. And it was just, I don't even remember who we ended up talking about. It was probably an actor.
I was just kind of thinking the same thing, because my pick is a male actor.
Okay.
And at first it popped into my mind just not too long ago. I watched a movie with this person in it, and I won't tell it yet because we're not to my turn yet. But anyway, I watched a movie with this person. I'm like, wow, really? This would be a great icon. And then when you mentioned this, that we're going to pick an icon, I'm like, oh, well, of course it's going to be that guy. and then as we were talking, like, okay, Rose picked a guy, and then Suzanne picked a guy, and I was waiting for you to see what you were going to say. And I'm like, well, maybe I should look up a couple of female actors, because I don't want to leave them out of the mix either, because I think there's some amazing female actors out there that are so iconic.
Yeah, so definitely.
I had a backup just in case, you know. So.
Well, when we get to your discussion, maybe you'll have to let us know who the backup was.
Okay. All right. So anyway, let's go on with the fabulous.
The fabulous Leah Thompson. In fact, this really kind of came my like acknowledgement and, you know, love for her on Twitter came about because Jill was doing this Jeff Goldblum thing on Fridays,
right?
Where, you know, it's fan follow or FF Goldblum or Goldblum Friday or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I played along for a bit, you know.
By the way, there was some weird stuff that came up in that whole thing, too. It's funny.
Yeah, very much
really
so.
Bizarre, funny, weird stuff, yeah.
Very much so. But then I was like, somehow I just randomly threw out the idea, like, you know, oh, we've got to have, you know, an actress that we have to pay homage to on Fridays. And I just picked Leia out of, you know, my head. You know, and all of a sudden that became kind of a thing where – now she's like, Jill almost wants me to post a Leia Thompson thing even every Friday now. So when I try to remember it after I do like the fan follow stuff, I'll sometimes put in a like a picture of Leia and tag Jill just cause, you know, because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to go through like every one of her movies. I just want to do some highlights based on, mm-hmm. you know, her filmography. The thing that I did before we started talking today, though, is I did revisit, she did a series of Burger King commercials back in the early 80s. So I actually watched this one where she was talking about, you know, people taking a break from baseball and, you know, going to Burger King because flamboyant beats frying, you know, like, you know, their anti-McDonald's ads. And it was just, it was so great in an 80s nostalgic way to see her, you know, being the pitch person for Burger King. But then Elizabeth Shue would end up doing that too. And yeah, they were so good at it. And I was just like, oh, we need commercials like that again because they're just great.
And now, an exciting message from Burger King.
We know you're watching the game, but you're waiting for something more exciting. Ready? Broiling beef frying nearly 2-1 in a coast-to-coast survey. Not better than baseball? Think about it. Nearly 2 out of 3 people chose broiling. Burger King broils. McDonald's and Wendy's fry. Okay, now back to baseball. But the second it's over, everybody up, click off your sets, and come on to Burger King.
So anyway, yeah, like I said, I got to revisit a few commercials and, you know, see her in her much younger self. But some stuff that came up as I was, you know, thinking about Leia, there was a movie called Space Camp that I really enjoyed. I don't know if you guys remember this one or not, but she basically played the like the book smart person. She was like kind of the brainy one from the group that got launched by accident up into space. So, yes. You know, you had, you know, her friend who is basically a you know, could recall anything that she had read before. So she had like that, you know, that type of memory. And that was, I forgot who played her. Was it Kelly Preston? I don't remember.
Yeah.
So it was a fun movie. I enjoyed that. And I think, you know, she did a really great job in that. We cannot forget her as Lorraine in Back to the Future movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely did fabulous in all three of those movies. Mm-hmm. And then having a different like age range, and not just a different age range, but also a different period where, you know, her circumstances of her life were dramatically changed. And mm-hmm. I think Leia really sold the, you know, each one of those time periods, you know, 'cause you got to see her in the Old West. You got to see her as the older Lorraine. And then you had her when she wasn't, you know, they weren't so well off as far as like, a family. But then when George got like his gusto after hitting Biff, then all of a sudden they were like fun and a loving couple. Then you got to mm-hmm. see the alternate timeline where she was actually married to Biff and she had the boob job. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but each one of those, you know, she played much different Lorraines. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think as far as that movie goes, she's really the one that gave the most range because of the mm-hmm. different, you know, Biff was always an ass. And mm-hmm. Marty was always Marty, and Doc was always Doc, you know, and
yeah.
But, you know, Lorraine had to basically kind of change. Her and George had to change.
Yeah.
So, and I think she did a really well, a really great job in that. I have to give some love to Howard the Duck. I know a lot of people don't give love to this movie.
Howard the Duck.
And I was actually reading as part of the trivia on IMDb. By the way, thank you for singing that. That is fantastic. But she actually sang that, mm-hmm. did her own vocals on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but she said that that was like really a great experience for her, even though the movie itself was, you know, probably what's considered, you know, in movie times, one of the greatest flops of all time.
You know, he's the most exciting individual I've ever met. He isn't into the whole macho thing. But he knows who he is and what he wants. Everyone thinks of him as a hero now. But I share his feelings, and he's touched my soul. And right now, I would give anything to run my fingers through his feathers.
George Lucas presents an electrifying new comedy, Howard the Duck. More adventure than humanly possible.
Yeah. I love this movie. I love this movie. I love Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
It's a great freaking movie.
And she's happy to have been part of it, you know, and that's the funny part. Even now, when people come up to her and say, God, I really loved Howard the Duck, she, you know, that those are her people. Yeah, that's what she says, because she knows that you know what you're kind of struggling through to get through this movie and to be able to love it, you know, and give, you know, the time of day to it. So she's appreciative of being part of that.
Yeah.
And I cannot, absolutely cannot wrap up any kind of discussion about her unless we talk about some kind of wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, those of you that are familiar with the archive history of podcasting with Scott and I, you understand that I had this
all
quest.
All the way back into the 80s reboot, yeah.
Yeah, the quest to find this movie on DVD in the wild. And it never happened. It never happened.
Oh.
But I did get it from Amazon. I finally broke down and said, fuck it, and, you know, placed it and got it, you know, but... Even to this day, because I know, Scott, you're still looking for it. When you go to the $5 bin at Walmart, you're digging just to see if you come across it. I go to a flea market. I go to a thrift store. I go to the DVD section, and I'm looking for it. I've yet to ever see it in the wild. So it's just one of those things. It's the Holy Grail. Even though I have my own copy now, and I won't buy it, but at least I'll tag, like, you know, I'll take a picture of it and tag it and say, here's where I found it, you know, finally. But but to me, Some Kind of Wonderful just became one of these iconic movies for me because, you know, first off, just the, you know, her role in this movie as Amanda Jones. And I think there's a lot of discussion that we've had in the past where we were like Team Amanda or Team Watts. Thank you, Scott.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Go on. Team Amanda, Team Watts.
Yeah, Team Watts, Team Amanda. And you and I have had that discussion where I know you're Team Watts. I know I'm Team Amanda. And, you know, I've always made the argument that as a character, she grew over the course of, you know, that movie. And I think a lot of times people don't give that credit. You know, she had those friends that were just really shitty friends. And she had to kind of acknowledge that and say, you know, I don't need these people anymore. And, you know, so her, you know, her going solo at the end was kind of her, you know, getting independent, you know, is what she needed to do. And then she had to have the strength to be able to slap, you know, her old boyfriend like that right there at the party. So to me, I think there was a tremendous amount of growth for the character. And I think, you know, she's easy on the eyes, too. I'm not going to lie.
She's very beautiful in that film.
Yes.
Very, very. Yeah. That one scene where she's like in the gym, like drying her hair. That was just like like a Playboy moment.
I'm going to need a moment.
In the locker room.
Yeah, in the locker room in the gym.
The locker room was.
One foot up on the bench, and she's in underwear, and she's just like got the hair flying. It's like, oh my God. It's like very Bob Guccione.
And then you had Watts sitting there staring
really
at her.
Beautiful. Yeah. I know, and she's in boxer shorts or something, right?
Yeah, Watts is looking at her, and are those boys boxers? And then smart Alec Watts. Yeah, you got to love her. Say what you want. Eric Stoltz did a really great job in that role, too.
I loved Craig Sheffer as Hardy in this one, too.
Yeah.
The dick, you know?
Yeah.
He played the dick boyfriend of Amanda Jones.
Yeah, I just wondered, was William Zabka not available to do this? I mean, come on, guys. You know, if you're filming a bully, you need William Zabka or you need Spader. You know, I mean, it's like, come on.
James Spader,
Spader. What's an 80s movie without James Spader to sleaze it up?
Yeah, he's kind of like that in real life, too, unfortunately.
I know.
Wanted to know if maybe you wanted to go out.
She's beautiful, and everybody's in love with her, and she's going out with me.
Just want you to get off the dime and think about your future.
She's beautiful, and obviously in the middle of some emotional shootout to consent to date the human tater tot.
This is 1987. Did you know that a girl can be whatever she wants to be?
I know, my mom's a plumber.
I'd recommend you keep your eyes and your mind off my property.
To cut it out.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Really, it must be a drag to be a slave to the male sex drive.
I didn't say anything about sex.
Oh, want to start a book club with her?
Anytime somebody from the outside lifts a woman from a squat like Jen's, man, we could all find cause to rejoice.
You walk out on me, where are you going to go?
I want to show this girl that I'm as good as anybody else.
I know how you feel.
You've been in love before.
There's a lot of things you don't know about me.
You got a shot to be the first guy in his family who didn't have to wash his hands after a day's work.
Break his heart or break your face. Do you miss me, Keith? Do you miss not being around me?
This isn't the third grade anymore.
Are you only 18 years old?
Then I'm 19, then I'm 20. When did my life belong to me?
Some Kind of Wonderful, rated PG-13. Special sneak preview, Saturday, February 21st.
All right, so I went over like some of my favorites. Just real quick, Red Dawn. You know, she was kind of a cameo backup character, but still fun nonetheless. Is kind of the tomboy in the cast. So
well, thanks for backing up to that, because I was like, you blew right past Red Dawn.
No, I wanted to jump through the ones that I wanted to make sure I talked about, because when you guys were kind of going in order before on your picks, you kind of ran out of time. So I wanted to front load the ones that I absolutely needed to talk about.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. Yeah. Good call.
But I'm sorry, were you going to say something about Red Dawn, Scott?
No, I was going to circle back to that and say, you know, we can't leave that one out because I thought she was good in that one too. And yes, she was a supporting role, but I still liked her in it.
Yeah. She was in a TV show called Tales from the Crypt. So mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody, have you guys seen that episode at all?
Only Cindy.
Only Cindy.
I thought I did.
Maybe I'd have to look her name. Only Sin Deep, which is a take on Skin Deep.
Yeah.
And her name is Sylvia Vane.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you can YouTube. Nice, you can search this one and you can actually find it. I believe it was on YouTube and I had seen it, I don't know, about a year ago. She did a pretty good job there, you know, and it was just her being kind of a narcissist, really, you know, full of herself. So,
yeah, I think I remember watching that.
Yeah. So I think she did well in that. You know, if you're into the Tales from the Crypt TV show, it's worth a watch.
Love this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
I used to watch Caroline in the City when she was a cartoonist, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And, you know, you would have thought that was something I gravitated towards, but I actually don't recall ever seeing it.
It was cute. It was kind of girly, though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
Yeah, it went for a while.
It was cute. I watched it.
What about the movie Casual Sex? Have you guys seen that?
I saw that movie.
Any good?
I thought it was kind of a funny movie. It didn't really get much do. It was a little... Have you seen it? You haven't seen it?
I have not seen it.
I have.
I didn't.
You have? Okay. What did you think, Scott?
I remember it being funny, entertaining. Not outstanding, but, you know, you had Victoria Jackson is hysterical.
Yeah.
And then you have Andrew Dice Clay. This is at the beginning of his career and just kind of, you know, right when he came onto the scene. So the Dice Man was pretty prominent in this one. But he played he almost played a serious role in it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, kind of.
He wasn't as crude as his stand-up routine usually is.
Right.
But overall, I thought it was a good take on the era.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Late 80s, a lot of great. If you look at some of the fashion statements in this thing, it's dead on. It's good stuff. Overall it's a good movie. I liked it. It's funny.
Okay.
Not
it was
super
cute. It was kind
super
of like
high
bubblegum kind of cute.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily an essential 80s, but it's like if you get around to it, then go ahead and watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it. It wouldn't fall into essential 80s.
Yeah, it's probably not the kind of thing that aged really well is the thing, because it was like a very brief moment of history. Right. Where the whole gimmick was casual sex with the question mark, because that's kind of over, because now AIDS is out there. So her and her buddy, you know, the two girlfriends go ahead out and do like some kind of like health resort, because then they'll meet men who aren't infected.
Wow. So, okay.
That's dark. And then
I forgot about that part.
Sort of, but you know, then it turns into a comedy of. You know, they're trying to date these guys and they all turned out to be jerks. And the one real gorgeous guy turns out to be an idiot and, you know, kind of like real life.
And then the
Amen,
one that wasn't.
Sister.
It's true.
Ouch.
Man bashing. I love it.
Like the one that you're not expecting to be the good guy ends up being the nice guy.
Yeah. It turns out to be kind of the nice guy who turns himself around and.
Right.
Stops being obnoxious and, you know, so there's a little growth in there. But I don't know that moment in history is going to really grab people if they were to watch it now, you know?
Right.
Right.
I think you had to be around at the time to understand.
Yeah. I just need to your thingy went off.
My thingy? I hate when my thingy goes off. Especially when I'm not ready for it.
Yeah,
premature dinghy.
So just to piggyback on that comment, I have just a little small story to tell. One of the gals that I work with, we were talking about going out and getting dressed and makeup and all this other stuff. And I just could not help myself because, you know, I'm a product of the 80s, even if I was in my 20s. And I still, you know, remember the rituals of preparing for a night at the club. And I told her, I says, well, it wasn't uncommon, I said, back then to, you know, have the big hair and the smoky eyes and the fabulous lips and, you know, the iconic, you know, blush that, you know, just really looked like you'd been slapped with a manhole cover kind of a thing. And nice. she's in her 20s, you know, maybe like the late 20s. And this actually came out of her mouth. That sounds like an awful lot of makeup. Wow. I'm like, yes, it was. She goes, I thought you were supposed to dramatize, you know, if you had the big eyes and you didn't wear the big lips and then vice versa. I'm like, I wanted to say, are you calling me a liar? Because I was there and I did it. So I literally, folks and out there listening, had to Google makeup styles of the 80s. And I pulled up the very first picture I pulled up. Massive hair, dramatic eyes, full lips, big earrings. And I waved her over to look at my computer monitor. I says, there you have it. She's like, oh my gosh.
So, like, getting dressed was half the fun. That whole bit of prepping the outfit and the face and the hair. That was half the fun.
She asked me, she goes, why?
It's like a costume party every night.
I'm like, honey, you have to. You know, yeah. Go ahead.
Colored eyeshadow. Colored eyeshadow. So that's what it was all about.
All the way back to your temple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I told her, I says,
electric blue.
Dress for you. I said, you dress so you look better than the other hookers that were going to be there. Your goal was to walk out of that club with a man. You had the plan. Go dance, drink, get a man, go to breakfast, you know, all the other stuff.
Wow.
I was like, that. And she's just looking at me in just such shock and amazement. I'm like, do I want to know what happens nowadays? I don't think so. It's like, obviously, this is a bygone era.
Sadly.
So, yeah.
So the line is, can I take you to breakfast? And then she says yes. You go, okay, should I call you or nudge you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Nice. Having to wrap this up, this has been just me being able to geek out on one of my favorite actresses from that time period, Leia Thompson. And so I'm so glad that we finally got the opportunity to give a little love to lovely Leia.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is where I'm going to remind everybody we have a website out there. That's bonsairetroclub.com. I will not spell it because you should know by now. Yeah, you should know by now. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. It's not little trees. All right, so every one of us has kind of our own social media stuff that we're taking care of. So, Scott, go ahead.
At 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter.
Suzanne?
At Suze Mattaboni, SuzanneMattaboni.com.
Rose?
80s Music Girl on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and Dragons Rose Red on Twitter.
Jeez, man, you guys are so efficient. You would have thought we did this before. So if you're on your computer, you're doing clickety-click things, go ahead to give us follows, ratings, reviews. We'd love you to do all that. Please tell your friends about us. That's very important. Your mission after you hear this episode is go out and tell a friend about Bonsai Retro Club. If you want to shoot us an email, that's mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. And this is the part where I just tell everybody, please, please, please be excellent to each other. And have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Daniel-san! Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai!